Good morning, my dear brethren and sisters. We commence our meeting this morning with the singing of hymn 42. All-powerful, self-existent God, who all creation does sustain, thou wast and art to come, and everlasting is thy reign. Hymn 42. We will further sing hymn number 226. Lord, when we meet to worship thee, before us let thy glory pass. Proclaim thy mercy rich and free. In Jesus may we see thy face. Hymn 226.
Thank you.
attention to our brother, who shall exhort us from God's word.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters.
Could you stand in front of the mic?
Fine, right. Start again. Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. First of all, Sister Sue sends her love, and she's quite upset that she's not able to be here today. But her health is a bit frail this morning. So, we're here to remember our Lord and Jesus, our Master, our Saviour, and obey his simple commands to remember him in the way appointed. Really, my theme this morning came up in our slightly earlier readings in Revelation just a day or two ago, and I'll quote the verse in just a moment. But it's the theme of the opportunities we have when the way to life everlasting is open to us, and it's our responsibility to go through that door before it's shut. There are numerous references to the goodness of our Creator in providing a way of escape from the sinful nature that we've inherited from our parents so long ago in that garden. We have verses that we can find in Job: "He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." We find that echoed again in our readings in Isaiah. It reminds us of the power and the love of our Creator. Of his influence in the affairs of man. Of his influence in the affairs of the ecclesias down through the centuries. Of his influence in our own individual lives. Yes, God opens the doors nationally, ecclesially, and individually. We look back at world history and we see the influence and the guiding hand of our Creator in the affairs of man and in our own affairs. Think back to those early times in Genesis when God has chosen his people and they have years of oppression and slavery in Egypt. Then along comes Moses, and the way is opened of escape from slavery and looking forward to serving their Creator. They were led out of that oppression in Egypt, only to find the way barred by the Red Sea. God sent that mighty wind and divided the sea, so they crossed it on dry ground. They were pursued by the Egyptians, and God closed that sea on top of them. God who shutteth, a God who openeth, and God who shuts. He opened the way for those mighty nations who came upon his chosen people Israel and oppressed them for their disobedience. For Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, Persia, all in their turn walked in the way that God had opened for them, though for the most part they knew it not. They were following, as they thought, the impulse of their own ways and hearts. Another verse: "The hearts of kings are in the hand of the Lord. He turneth them whithersoever he will." That that verse in Revelation that we read on Wednesday, Revelation 3, comes to mind. To the church in Philadelphia, God declares, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name." Our Lord and Master speaking of the church in Philadelphia. The influence of our Creator in their lives. And it's still with us today. This is my first time in this lovely bright yellow hall this morning. It's a wonderful opportunity to refresh the Redhill / Reigate meeting with new surroundings. God, who opens the way, helped to find it for you, directed the brethren and sisters to this place. Nationally, ecclesially, what about individually? We know Old Testament history and New Testament history very well, don't we? Through our regular daily readings. I can just mention a name or two. Think of Daniel. The faithful service he performed and the care of our Creator in his life. Think of the disciples and apostles of our Lord Jesus preaching in that first century, of their successes and of their oppression and cruelty and treatment and imprisonment. God opened the way for Darius the Mede, went through those gates at Babylon. He opened the way for his faithful servant Daniel, who we've already mentioned, to rise in the administration of that kingdom, to find favour with that victorious king. But we know having the king on your side was no safeguard against those who came to envy his life, to envy a king's favourite. It's a Jewish proverb, a favourite has no friends. Daniel, from their point of view, was successful, though being a Jew. He had friends, of course, we know he did. But his enemies were strong and influential and also unscrupulous. They watched him for a long period of time to try and find fault in his official duties. But unbeknown to them, they gave Daniel a glowing testimonial. "We shall not find any occasion against David, Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God, not the Babylonian gods." We know their machinations and that they entrapped the king into signing a decree just about as rash as Jephthah's vow or the promise of Herod to the daughter of Herodias. They vented their spleen on Daniel by using the cast iron law of the Medes and the Persians that we see in our readings, "Altereth not." Daniel was faithful to his God. Because of that, he was thrown into that den of lions, and a stone was rolled over the mouth of the den, and a royal seal set upon it. The king, reluctantly, was backed by that royal decree. We met here to remember also somebody else who was put in a dark rock tomb and had a stone rolled over the mouth against him by equally envious men. But we're here to think about God who openeth and God who closes. After 3 days locked up in that tomb with that stone rolled across the entrance, God who openeth sent his angels to bring our Lord and Master out of that dark place of death into the sunlit morning. And so it was with Daniel. A day or so later, the king came to the lion's den in the morning and called out to Daniel. What was Daniel's reply? The Lord has sent his angel and has shut the mouth, the lion's mouths. Despite the envy of those around him, God who shutteth and God who openeth was with Daniel. Despite the king's seal of wax on the stone, didn't matter how high ranking those who had shut up Daniel were, their wishes were ignored. The seal was broken. So much for the wicked devices of those who envied him. In the Acts of the Apostles, we find much to encourage us about the steadfastness of those who knew Jesus and came after him. We know many believers were added to the number of the faithful, both of men and women. This stirred up that continuing envy of this new Christian way by the priests and Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't like the enthusiasm of the people who were following this strange new message. They followed even the shadows of the apostles. And it galled the accredited leaders at the time that they were losing their place and their influence. We know at times they laid hold of the apostles and the disciples, mistreated them, beat them, put them in the common prison. Perhaps they thought they could stop this new movement and stop people like Peter and John, who were healing those who had sicknesses. They didn't want people healed in the streets by common fishermen. They didn't like the words of life being spoken by these street preachers. But we know they were flying in the face of God who opens and shuts. They shut them up in prison. They had no need for seals, for the keepers of the prison were there by the gates. But we know, amazingly, the next morning they weren't there. They had no need for seals, for keepers standing at the door. The news came that the men you've put in prison, well, they're standing in the temple, in the marketplace, teaching the people. And we know that God had sent his angel by night and had opened the prison door and brought them out. Out of prison, into the streets, into the temple, with direct commands to preach the word that had been forbidden by men. These are historical, true facts. Christ spoke of Daniel. He walked with John and Peter and James and Matthew, who testified of his truth. Brethren and sisters, you and I are in the hands of this same God. both in the past and today in this room this morning. Human nature is still what it is. We are weak at times, we're erring at times, we're short-sighted at times. But for those of us, we count us that way in this room this morning, who are alive to the ways of God, claim to be his children, we can learn from these past events and see God's influence in our lives, mostly with hindsight. We don't see it at the very moment we're having problems. But we are confident in what we believe and share amongst each other. This confidence is based on what we read day by day in God's holy word. Sometimes there is a block put on our progress, our individual progress. And at the time we don't always understand why that thing has been put in our way, the way we have chosen to go. But in time, with hindsight, we can see that it was for our benefit. Paul faced much opposition in his preaching. We know his shining example to us. However he was mistreated, however those around him tried to prevent his message coming out, a way was found for his letters to reach those of the other ecclesias he wrote to. Cast your mind back to the time of Jacob, of famine, lack of food, being forced to go to a strange country. He didn't know that going down to that strange country, a way of salvation was being opened up. Joseph was removed from all he was familiar with and went into a land of darkness for the salvation of God's chosen people at that time. So too it may be with us. It's not always easy for us to understand God's providence in our lives. We may look on it as a closing door of service to our Creator. But in reality, the way we are directed results in a happier life and joyful service, and influencing those around us. At the time, it may seem a dark passageway we're going down. It may seem unnecessary to us. We're human, brethren and sisters. We cannot see clearly or far enough ahead to understand God's ways in our lives. Jewish writer left this simple but profound sentence on record. In the book of God's providence, they are long. We must read them a great many times before we understand their meaning. We have a great deal of freedom in this country to go whichever way we choose. Some ways we go hinder us in our walk to life everlasting. We are often steered back to that narrow way by circumstances that we could never envisage, and the way is kept open and the light shines before us. The power that threw Daniel into the lion's den could not touch his life. It could cast Peter and John into prison, but it could not stop them preaching the gospel. the one who we remember together this morning. It could insult his life. It could crucify him and seal the stone upon his grave. But it couldn't keep him there. For all men's machinations, God sent his angels to resurrect him, that no one should do him harm anymore in the final sense, or to frustrate God's purpose that was bound up in his marvellous life. We're surrounded by a great deal of rhetoric. What we should do, what we should think, the direction we should go. And we've just witnessed the confusion that's arrived from the current referendum. So many people pulling us one way or the other. And who knows what the outcome is. But we should not be concerned with it, brothers and sisters, because we know ultimately God is in control of men's affairs. Paul warned Timothy, telling him that the foundation of those who follow them are insecure and he will cause their overthrow. He reminds us that the Lord knoweth them that are his. So we stand here together this morning. We stand having walked through that open door, the one who opens, and if we are faithful, will not shut it. The one who proclaimed himself the door through which those who are sealed through the waters of baptism have entered. Now shortly we shall take a portion of bread and a sip of wine. Passing through that door that God has opened, obeying the very simple commands of Christ to meet in remembrance of him. So we have a door of remembrance opened in our minds together this morning, thinking of the deep things of God and his influence in our lives. It's a door, if we are faithful, God will not shut without good cause. But it may be our own actions, our own thoughtfulness and neglect that will shut it. Thinking of those characters that we've mentioned and our readings together today, sharing our friendship and our fellowship in this room by words of encouragement and friendly conversation, thinking of God's holy word. Thinking of Daniel, who didn't neglect his daily prayers, despite those who wanted him done away with. He never sought to hide his allegiance to God. He did his duty to his divine and earthly masters till that command came that clashed with his principal service to God, demonstrated in his daily prayers. He didn't say, oh, there's a lion in the path. I'll have to go round it. I'll have to get round it somehow. He went straight forward, proclaiming his faith to all those around him. Peter and John were exercising themselves in God's service, preaching and doing other good works. God didn't keep them out of prison or save them from beating and insults. All this they underwent. But God was caring for them. He sent his angel and delivered them by opening that prison door. our Lord and Saviour, who led a perfect life and who we remember together this morning in the symbols on the table. He was not free. Even though he was the Son of God, he was not free from cruelty, ridicule, torture, shame, death. But God sent his angel in defiance of man's wishes and brought him from the grave, no more to return. And where is he now? Exalted on the right hand of God in power and glory with his angels. So, the influence of God in world affairs, ecclesial affairs, and individually has come down to us over thousands of years in our daily readings. The door of opportunity is still open in our lives for those who are seeking it. Our presence here together, brethren and sisters, puts us in the ranks of those who hope to be on the right side of that door at Christ's return. The Spirit is calling to us now to stay on the right side of that open door. There is still the opportunity for those who are called to come through that door together with us and all those centuries of those faithful. But that door will be closed at some time soon. Then that dreadful cry will go up, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But it will be too late. God only is not only a God who opens, but a God who shuts. So together this morning, partaking of the emblems and remembrance of him, doing the right thing, giving thanks that God is a great influence in our lives, we pray, when he returns, that we will be welcomed through that door before it's shut on the rest of the world.
We will now sing hymn number 95. Our Lord will come, but not the same as once in lowly form he came. A silent lamb to slaughter led, the bruised, the suffering, and the dead. Hymn 95. After singing hymn number 295, would Brother Alan please conclude with prayer? Hymn 295. Most glorious things are spoken, Jerusalem, of thee, to all God's saints the token of love and liberty. Who shall thy hill ascending, from pain and sorrow free, from sin and death's contending, the living glory be? Hymn 295.